But last week we talked about warning signs. How to know when you are under a spiritual attack. Listen, the devil is attacking people like never before. The devil is on a rampage. He knows that his time is short. You know, Jesus is getting ready to come again. Do you believe that? You believe that? Amen. I know we've been saying it for 2,000 years, but every day it gets closer. Amen. And the devil knows his time is short. Now, listen to me. Spiritual warfare is real. The devil is real. There is a real battle going on in the heavenlies between the kingdom of darkness and between the kingdom of light. Now, the spirit world is also very real. There are angels, right? There's angels, the Bible says. And there are demons. There's an unseen world. There's the devil and his fallen angels. And in Acts chapter 16, we looked at the story last week. We'll look at it again in just a moment. I'm not going to take time to read all of the story right now. But we come across this scripture. It's strange, and it says that as Paul was in this city preaching, Acts 16:16, Israel, you can probably put that verse up. He's preaching, and a woman who was possessed, the scripture says, with a spirit of divination comes out against them. And she brought her masters much money by fortune telling. Now, literally in the Greek, the word divination is the word python. Now, there's a couple of things that can mean, and but in the basic understanding of what a python is, we're going to talk about that this morning. I want to spend a little time explaining this so you can understand the battle that we're in. It's the only time in the Bible, in the book of Acts especially, that the name of an evil spirit is given. The specific type of spirit that they were dealing with, a python spirit. Do you know there are python spirits that want to attack you? And there are other times and instances of demon possession that were given the name of an evil spirit. But in this case, we're told that it's the spirit of python. Now listen to me. Spirits never die. Right? Spirits never die. Angels never die. The same angel that comforted Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane can comfort you if God so chooses. The same angel that stood next to Paul on the ship in Acts 28 and told him that you and your friends are not going to, or you and the people on this boat are not going to die. They weren't his friends. They were Roman. He was with prisoners and soldiers. They were taking him to Rome. But he said, y'all are not going to die. That same angel can come and stand by you in what you're going through if God chooses. The same angel can come. Angels never die. Demons never die. All they do is reinvent themselves. They get extreme makeovers, and they show up in new generations and new sounds and new music, new methods. But it's the same evil spirits. Amen? You know that. The spirit of Baal that they worshiped in the Old Testament is prevalent in our nation today. Same spirits. They've been around for generations because they are the fallen ones. Lucifer is the head of the fallen angels. Lucifer means shining one. Everybody with me this morning? In Isaiah 14, it said he was called the son of the morning. Lucifer was created. The Bible says that when he was created, he was the most beautiful creature. He had all kinds of musical instruments built into his body, wind instruments, percussion instruments, all these different instruments in his body. He had jewels all over him. He was made to radiate the glory of God. He was the chief worship leader in heaven. The chief musician. He was mighty. He was beautiful. He was striking. But the scripture said he had five evil thoughts. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the far sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like God. Five times, five I wills that Satan said, I will do this, I will do this, I'm so great, look at me. And he exalted himself above God to the point that there was a rebellion in heaven, and God kicked the devil and his angels, a third of the angels in heaven followed Lucifer. And now they are demons here on the earth sent, and they torment us. They torment you. Spirits of divination, spirits of wickedness, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of evil, spirits of oppression. Anybody ever felt oppressed? Anybody ever felt a heaviness on you? It's not always demonic, but many times it is. And the spirit of Python is an interesting spirit, because a python, it doesn't kill its victims by its venom. In other words, like most snakes, it doesn't bite and strike and the venom causes a person to die. Pythons will come and they wrap themselves around their victims and squeeze the breath out of them. Now listen to me, breath in the Bible is always representative of the Holy Spirit. Breath is always represented in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is a message that you need to hear this morning. I know that this is the message that God gave our church for today. I know it's not just for today, it's for as we move forward. Listen to me. The enemy of your soul wants to squeeze the power of the Holy Spirit out of you. The enemy of our soul wants to squeeze the power of the Holy Spirit out of this church. Come on. Do you believe that? Do y'all believe in the Holy Spirit this morning? We sang it. He wants us to become a bunch of professionals. He wants us to lose the anointing of God. He wants us to rely on our own might, our own power, our own intellect, our own strength, and not believe in the supernatural anymore. To squeeze the anointing out of our worship, to squeeze the anointing out of our preaching until we're just performers, just entertainers. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Come on, listen to me. We are living in the days when you will not be able to reason a demon out of a person. You're not going to be able to counsel a demon out of a marriage. Those are the days that we are living in. Now, I'm not a demon chaser. I don't go around looking for demonic things behind every bush or in everything. I probably bump into more accidentally than I mean to. But you've got to realize the demonic is real. Spiritual warfare is real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities. It's against powers. It's against spiritual forces of wickedness in a heavenly place. We've got to get back to what the Bible says. Some of you are in a spiritual battle. You're tired. You're weary. You're ready to give up. And you need to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. That Python spirit wants to squeeze the life right out of you. The breath. In John 20, 22, when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the breath of God. He breathed the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, the priest could only enter one time a year. And the rabbis say that when the priest would go into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, inside that tent, that they could hear this. And they said the curtains, now this is what the rabbis have written. It's not in the Bible. This is the tradition. The curtains would move in and out like someone was breathing, and they called it the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of the holies. They believed the literal presence of God dwelt manifest there in that temple. You know, in the New Testament, you are the temple of the living God. And the Spirit of God has come to dwell on the inside of you. The Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of the Holy One, is inside of you. The mighty rushing wind entered the room and filled the believers. Come on, He wants to choke the wind out of you. Choke the anointing and the power of God. Choke the breath until all we end up with is big churches that attract a lot of people, but they have no presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants to wrap Himself around us until we become so formal and ritualistic and religious. We can't even lift our hands in worship. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is hope. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But He wants to choke the gifts of the Spirit out of the church. Become so intellectual that we reason all of this stuff away. And He's quite happy to just slide under the radar. The devil is very happy if we don't talk about Him, if we don't focus on Him, if we don't reveal what He's wanting to do in our lives. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus walked into the synagogue. It was on the Sabbath. And He opens the Bible, the scrolls, they said, to Isaiah. And in Luke 4:18, Jesus preaches His first sermon. He's been baptized. He's gone out in the wilderness. And now He's defeated the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. And the Bible said He comes back in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. He opens the scroll and begins to preach, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And in the middle of His preaching, there was a man in the synagogue who stands up and begins to cry out with a demonic spirit. And in verse 34, he's saying, "Let us alone." It's what the demon said. "Let us alone. What have we to do with You, Jesus? Did You come to destroy us? I know that You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus cast the demon out of the man. But there was a voice that came forth that said, "Leave us alone. Leave us alone." That's what the devil is saying this morning. Leave it alone. Don't talk about this. What if people think you're a bunch of fanatics? What if people think y'all are a bunch of weirdos? Leave it alone. You know, that man had sat in that synagogue for years and years. He had listened to the songs. He had listened to the teaching. And it wasn't until somebody came in full of the Holy Spirit that he was disturbed by anything that was said. How many people sit in church week after week, happy to go, and they're living in their bondage, they're living in their captivity, and there's nothing that's being preached, nothing that's being said that will set them free. And until Jesus comes on the scene, filled with the Spirit of God, this man was bound. And in Mark 6, it says that Jesus cast out all kinds of devils. Why? Because they were there. Because He could. There's a voice in our land today that's crying out, "Just leave us alone." Even pastors and leaders are guilty of this. Just leave it alone. Don't talk about it. Just let it go. Churches all over are buying into the lie of homosexuality. And we need to open up our doors and let homosexuals and lesbians be leaders in our churches. God forbid. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate lesbians. I love them. They are under a deception. Our land is being deceived. They are being deluded. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that when people continue to reject God, He will turn them over to a strong delusion. That's what's happening to our country. That's what's happening to our country. They're being turned over to a strong delusion. Transgenderism is everywhere you go. We went to the movies Friday night, to a movie. And what do? They advertise a new TV show about transgendered families. It's everywhere. It's just terrible. This poor teenage boy, the show's about him and about his father's transition to being a woman. And he said, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to become a man, but I don't have a father to teach me. There's a generation that's crying out. There was an article by a woman this week, and she said, I grew up in the 70s, and I was a tomboy. She said, I was about 6 feet tall, big hands, big feet. My features were more just, they were big. And so she said, my whole life I was called a tomboy. That's what we used to call them. She said, if boys were more feminine, then we called them sissies or girly. And she said, in some ways, I think it was harder on the boys being called that than it was on the girls being called a tomboy. But she said, I grew up being a tomboy. She said, I was lonely at times. I hurt at times. I wasn't very pretty. I didn't have the confidence. But she said, I cannot imagine what would have happened to me when I was 13 or 14 years old in this generation, and somebody would come up to me and say, well, you're that way because you're really a man. Or, young man, you're really that way because you're really a woman. Do you see the delusion that is coming over our generation? And she said, I'm sure if some lesbian had tried to come on to me or something had happened, then I probably would have fallen for that same lie and believe. But she said, as I grew up and I discovered who I was and I discovered how God had made me, she said, I am now a confident woman. I have a great job. She said, I love the outdoors more than I love girly things. But she said, I am the woman that God created me to be. And there are demons all around lying in wait to deceive our children, to deceive our young people, to deceive you. The devil is so subtle, and he wants to squeeze the power of the Holy Spirit out of the church. But I'm going to tell you, we've got to preach a gospel more than ever that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach people how to put on the armor of God. Teach people how to pray in the Holy Ghost, how to lift your hands in worship in the midst of the battle and drive the enemy back. He wants you to go to churches where you're going to leave it alone. Too many people are trying to fight a spiritual battle with a carnal mind, with carnal weapons, with no anointing, no breath of God. People say, just leave. The devil says, leave me alone. Just leave it alone. I want to tell you this morning, you can breathe again. You can breathe again. Look at Acts chapter 16. In verse 16. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of Python or divination. This girl followed us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Did you see what it said? It said, as we went to prayer. Python hates prayer. The devil hates prayer. He hates it when you and I go to pray. He hates it when we begin to get in our prayer closet and to press in to him. And the devil, more than anything, will attack prayer. You know, one of the greatest sadnesses of people that don't pray is the fact that the Bible says that when we pray, that God actually sends angels out to help us and to protect us and to go before us and to work for us. And when we don't pray, we've got angels sitting on the unemployment line. Your angels that God wants to send out to watch over you and protect you, when you're not praying, when you're not talking to God, they're not there. They can't be there. You have not because you ask not. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and I will open the door to you. The spirit of Python wants to cut you off when you go to pray. He wants to stop you when you go to pray. He wants to stop you when you try to get along with God. Every evil thing will come against you when you begin to set your life to pray, when you begin to set your life to get in God's word, when you begin to set your life to go after God. The devil will fight you like never before. It was at the time of prayer. Now, it's interesting in this story that Paul and his team, this is the beginning of the passages, I think just a little bit before this, where we start reading, we went. This is where Luke joined Paul and the others in this missionary journey. Luke wrote the book of Acts, but this is the timing when Luke joined them on their journey. You can go back and read Acts for yourself. Maybe you didn't know that. When you start seeing we, it's the time when Luke joined them. And at the beginning of this chapter, Paul and his team, Timothy, Paul and Silas, Luke, they're heading out. And the Bible says as they came to one place, they were going to go this way and preach, but the Spirit of God wouldn't allow them to go to that place. And so they said, let's go over here. But he said the Spirit of God wouldn't allow them to go over there and preach. And in verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So for whatever reason, however the Spirit of God was leading them, he wouldn't let them go over there. He wouldn't let them go over there. And then he gets a vision to go to Macedonia, the Spirit of God compelling them to go. And it's here, while they are in Macedonia, that this evil spirit comes out against them to stop what they are doing in this place, growing the church, preaching the gospel. Listen to me. The Python spirit, the devil, whatever you want to call it, demonic spirits, they stand opposed to expansion. They stand opposed to growth. They stand opposed to anything that is new, any growth. Listen, this church is growing. Do you realize that when we started our new life groups and we started the marriage class and we started adding the other classes, do you realize we went from about 15 to 20 people on Sunday morning in Sunday school to we've been averaging between 80 and 90 people in Sunday school on Sunday mornings? That's amazing. More people being discipled, more people being taught. It's great. And the devil does not want expansion. And so he comes into this place where Paul and Silas are expanding the gospel, where the kingdom of God is growing, where great things are happening. I'm telling you, the devil does not want our church to grow. But aren't you thankful we don't bow to the devil? The Bible said, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it doesn't matter what the rent is. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter. God is going to see us through. Our church will grow. It's going to expand. And it's going to reach Warren County and Bowling Green with a powerful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that old demon thought that it had Paul and Silas. Because after Paul casts the spirit out, her masters come after Paul and Silas, right? And they accuse them of stirring up trouble. And what happens to Paul and Silas? They're beaten. They're beaten and they're thrown in chains. And the Bible says they didn't just throw them in prison. They threw them into the inner prison, in the deepest, darkest part of the cell. These Roman prisons were not like our prisons where they can kind of roam free and they got TV and magazines and, you know, whatever they want and food. And listen, man, they'd throw them in there and throw away the key. They put Paul and Silas deep in there. No lights, rats.
I just want to interject this as he was talking about prison. Pastor Saeed this week, he was talking about being beaten. They beat him again. He had had an opportunity while he was in prison, a little table to start writing, like Paul. God was using him in prison. But this week, they beat him even more severely and took away any opportunity. It just reminded me, that's a modern-day man who's standing up.
They threw him in the innermost part of the prison. And the Bible says in verse 25 that it was at midnight. At midnight. You know, midnight in the Bible is always the timing of a picture of the Lord is going to return. It's always a picture of the end times. It's always a picture of the time right before Jesus is getting ready to come back. In the Bible days when the bridegroom would go and get his bride, most of the time they went at midnight to get their bride. And the Bible says that it was at midnight. Could I possibly throw this out and say that is it possible that in this time, in this hour, that it's at midnight, we know the time is drawing near, Jesus is getting ready to come again, that the devil is trying to release the spirit of Python over the church to squelch the breath of God, the supernatural power of God out of the church. We're living at midnight. But this is the best part of the story. Because at midnight, Paul and Silas were there in the prison. You know it. Come on, Paul and Silas are there in the prison. And at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And the Bible says there was an earthquake. And the earthquake shook the prison. And everybody was set free. Come on, I'm going to tell you this morning. It may be midnight. The power of the Python spirit may be coming against you. But it cannot stand up against the power of praising our God. Come on, listen to me, church. This is the time we've got to begin to rise up and let our praise arise before God. Our praise has to go up more powerful than ever before. When you come in here to worship on Sunday morning, when you're at home worshiping, don't just sit there and let everybody else worship for you. You worship. You go after God with all you've got. Come on, that is one of the primary weapons that God has given to us to defeat the devil. Is our praise. The Old Testament, the story of Jehoshaphat, they went out against the army and God said, send the praisers and the worshipers out first. And as the praisers and the worshipers went out first, the enemy was routed. Go fight the battle of Jericho. But instead of going out and preaching to that thing, instead of speaking to that thing, go and blow some trumpets. Get the brass section going. What is the power of praise? And I want to tell you something this morning. When the saints start to get free, the prisoners get free. When the saints get free, ooh, that's good. The prisoners get free. Come on, Paul and Silas got free, and so did everybody else. When you and I get free, when our church gets free, other people are going to get free. People that walk in here under bondage, people walk in here bound, people walk in here under sickness, people walk in here under oppression, they're going to get free at the name of Jesus. The power of our praise, the Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. We've got to have anointed worship. We've got to have anointed praise. Our praise must arise with power. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 149, it's talking about our praise, it's talking about our worship, that God has made it so that it is like swords drawn to execute judgments against the kings and against rulers. It's talking about demonic spirits, demonic forces. It's the power of our praise. And Paul and Silas were there in that prison and they began to sing their hymns. They began to worship in the midst of their struggle. They began to worship in the midst of that prison and they began to sing. They began to worship. And I can just imagine, I don't know what they were singing, but I can just imagine, can't you see God sitting up there in heaven, sitting there on his throne, and all of a sudden they begin to worship God and he's like, boy, I like that sound. Man, I love that sound. And all of a sudden, God just kind of begins to tap his foot just a little bit. What do you think happens when God taps his foot? Man, the whole earth shook. And the earthquake opened the prison. I'm going to tell you, when you begin to worship God, the Bible says he sits enthroned on the praises of his people. Come on, we need a praise break right now. Come on, just praise the Lord right now. God, we glorify you this morning. We magnify you this morning. We worship you, Jesus. Listen to me. This is not about being Pentecostal, holy rollers. Bless God. Stand in front of the mirror and practice that. Bless God. Fire and brimstone, you know. It's not about jumping through hoops. Listen, I preached it back at the end of last year. We talked about drawing closer to God in worship. God loves exuberant worship. He's the one that created dancing and singing and shouting and clapping. And the Bible says in each of those areas, when we worship him in that way, freedom comes. Do you know there's a word in the Hebrew that's tehillah? I didn't say tequila, so don't anybody get excited. Tehillah. And it's a combination word. It means when we dance, when we shout, when we clap, when we praise, when we do all of those things, spinning and shouting. That's the word when it says that God inhabits, he sits enthroned, tehillah, on the tehillah of his people. Man, when we come in here in unity, when we come in here ready to worship, when we come in here to praise, the prisoners are set free. Another thing that will defeat the spirits that are standing against you is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. When we are warring against powers and principalities, the blood of Jesus. Come on, why am I preaching this series? Am I preaching this series just so I can get happy? No, I'm trying to teach people how to overcome. To overcome, how to fight the power of the devil. And you're going to do it as you pray. You're going to do it as you praise. You're going to do it as you plead the blood of Jesus. And what does that mean, to plead the blood of Jesus? In the Old Testament, in Exodus, when the Passover came, the death angel was going to pass over, and God said, take the blood and apply it to the doorpost of your house. Apply it to your home. Apply it over your house. And when the death angel sees the blood, he will pass over. Come on, we have access to the blood of Jesus. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we need to plead the blood of Jesus. Come on, saints. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your home. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your children. What does that mean? That means that I just say, Jesus, I thank you, God, that your blood has saved us. I thank you for the power of your blood that drives away demons. I thank you the power of your blood drives away sickness. And God, I plead the blood over my family. I claim the blood. It's another way of saying it. I claim the blood over my family, over my children, over my home. Come on, draw a bloodline around your house. God, I draw a bloodline around Natural Elementary School that no demon will be able to cross that bloodline and come into this place and harass students and harass teachers and harass people. I draw a bloodline around my... Come on, you just begin to plead the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Come on, it's the power of the blood of Jesus. It's a fountain. We've got the power of prayer, the power of praise, the power of his blood, the power of his word, the power of his name. There's all kinds of weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. You know, this week, I was reading the story of Elijah and Jezebel again, and I saw it in a way that I'd never seen it before. Casting down every high thing. You remember the story, Jezebel has come after Elijah, but now she's on the run. God has sent those to destroy her kingdom's coming to an end, and Jezebel is on the run, and she runs to the high tower, up into the tower. And the Bible says that Elisha went out and anointed Jehu, or Yehu, however you want to say it. And he gets in his chariot, and he begins to go after Jezebel. And he's riding in that chariot, and he pulls up to this tower. Bible says he drove furiously. Probably like some of y'all down Scottsville Road. He drove furiously, gets to that tower, and he said, "If you're with me, whoever is with me, throw the witch down." And the Bible says that the eunuchs rose up and they said, "It's us." And they grabbed Jezebel and they threw her out the window. And she hit the ground dead. The Bible says Jehu got in his chariot and he drove his chariot over and crushed her body. And then I like to tell the story, he backed up and did it again. And then he went forward again. And he made sure she was dead. Casting down every high thing that exalts itself. Come on, there are high places. There are high things. The Bible says that Jezebel was full of witchcraft and idolatry and all sorts of divination. Casting down. We're going to throw that old wicked witch out of the window. And the Bible says it's interesting. The eunuchs were the one who rose up to throw her out of the window. What's a eunuch? It's somebody that's been enslaved to her witchcraft. These were men that had been enslaved to Jezebel. They were her servants. Come on, today's the day. You don't have to be enslaved any longer to any kind of addiction, any kind of stronghold in your life. You don't have to fall kowtow servanthood to the devil any longer. Come on, we're going to chunk that old woman out of the window. Cast her down. Every high thing. Our weapons are not carnal. Through the blood of Jesus, through the word of God, through the power of the name and the blood of Jesus, through the power of our praise. Tommy, come on. The power of our worship, the power of your prayers. We're going to defeat the devil. Now, I know there are people here this morning that you are under demonic oppression. You're being attacked, and we want to pray for you this morning. Everybody stand up. And we're going to begin to worship God. And I encourage nobody to move around. I encourage you to enter into worship with us. Revelation 12:11, we sang it this morning, says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Jesus. That's how we will overcome. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. It's by your spirit. Go ahead, Tommy, just lead us.
We will overcome.
Sing that out.